What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Friday, August 10th, 2018. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. This has been kind of a rough week, just all kinds of stuff going on. And boy, you know, I'm glad it's the weekend, although Claire and I, unfortunately, have got things we have to do over the weekend. But whoa, just got to step back and take a breath here a little bit, I think. Anyway, let's get right on into it. And by the way, Claire will be joining us in hour number three of our show today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. So let's get right on into it. Now, yesterday we had some callers who were calling on in about how Senator Rand Paul hand-delivered a note from Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin, which basically said would like to work on maybe, you know, toning down the rhetoric and the hostility and, you know, closening ties, getting closer ties with Russia. And then right after that, Trump's State Department notified Russia that they were going to impose sanctions because of the Skripal poisoning. And talk about a mixed message. And it may have been that the State Department deliberately did this in order to derail any possibility of Trump and Putin trying to come together and pull back from the brink of war. And of course, Russia is very upset because there's been no evidence they had anything to do with Skripal. It's just a case of, we accuse you, here are the sanctions. And it's also sending a very bad message to Russia, where they don't know who's really in charge over here. Because they're getting one message from the White House and another from the Department of Justice. And right now, I'm sure that Putin is asking, is Trump really in control of what's going on? Or has he become just a figurehead? Because if he was the president, he'd be over there at the State Department saying, you know, why did you do this? And, you know, don't do it again. So the deep state is still trying to push us toward a confrontation with Russia. And that is not a very, very good thing. And a lot of this are coming from the neocons, like Senators John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Bob Menendez, that are all out there demanding crushing sanctions on Russia. We will crush them. Sort of reminds me of Khrushchev pounding his shoe at the table, on the table at the UN, saying, we will bury you, we will bury you. This kind of rhetoric really does not help the situation. And you would think these people would have learned a lesson from that ill-conceived oil price war from a few years back that actually caused a lot more damage to the West than it did to Russia. These sanctions are causing a lot of harm to the West. Russia is becoming more self-sufficient, which is not what the globalists want. But the Graham-McCain-Cardin, this push for an escalation of economic war versus Russia, it's so crazy. Even the U.S. Treasury is saying this is a bad idea and we shouldn't be doing this. And again, this is all sending a message to well, every country on earth. Who's really calling the shots in the United States of America? Is it the Treasury? Is it the Department of Justice? Is it the FBI? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Congress? Is it CIA? The United States government right now is looking like a rudderless ship. Nobody knows where it's going next year. Now, there's an article that came out of TheRealNews.com saying it is entirely possible that these escalating sanctions on Russia and Iran, along with raising tensions, they could backfire. And they're saying basically the same thing that I have been saying. The world no longer sees the United States as an essential nation, as indispensable. And they're already making moves to basically re-engineer the global economy around this big empty hole where the U.S. used to be, and the U.S. dollar used to be. That's where this is all heading. The U.S. is isolating itself economically and politically from the rest of the world with this out of control sanctions and tariffs nonsense. The U.S. is trying to weaponize the global economy against the rest of the world, and they're failing rather badly at it. Now, China helped Russia thwart a U.S. bid to freeze a bank's assets over a North Korean sanctions dodge. And basically it says China and Russia are moving closer together. They're cooperating. And basically, again, Putin is showing himself a statesman. He's trying to ease the tensions on the Korean Peninsula. So it's getting there. And of course, basically, Russia and China blocked a bid at the UN to add a Russian bank to the United Nations sanctions block. So, of course, Mike Pompeo came right out and accused Russia of North Korea sanctions violations. By golly, you do things the way we tell you to do, or we're going to give you what for here. All right, we're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Now, getting on back to the Sergei Skripal situation, Russia is saying that the West, meaning mostly Great Britain and the United States, are acting as judge, jury, and executioner in the Skripal case. And they're reminding everybody there is absolutely no evidence tying what happened to the Skripals with Russia. And it didn't really make sense when it happened anyway. Skripal's retired. He's no longer a player. Putin had better things to do. So we have a government right now, we have a political system right now that is acting on the basis of unverified, unprovable accusations, whether it's the Steele dossier or the Skripal poisoning or Iran's nuclear weapons or whatever, or Assad's sarin gas. We accuse you and the accusation is enough. You know, guilt by acclaim. Guilt by proclamation. Now, over in Syria, the U.S. Army is basically reactivating one of their military bases in the village of Al-Sayada in western Manbij. And basically, this is supposed to be in response to an attempted assassination and a bomb attack. But again, the U.S. isn't supposed to be there in the first place. They just don't want to have to admit that they've lost, which they have here. And this article coming out of Russia Insider basically says that one of the main reasons the U.S. is still in Syria is they're still trying to find some way that they can use events in Syria to justify more hostilities against Iran. You know, those gosh darned Iranians, look what they're doing in Syria. Well, Syria asked them to come on in. Same thing with Russia. Now, apparently, China. The only uninvited party in that country is the United States of America here. More wars right now will be a disaster. Let's just put that on the table right now. We've had going on 18 years of war all over the globe. If Bernie Sanders is to be believed, we're militarily engaged in 76 countries around the world. Our stockpiles are drawn down. Our existing weapons are worn out. The stuff that is coming on out from the military-industrial complex is overpriced, basically junk. Remember, we were talking about the littoral class and independence class. I'm sorry, the Freedom and Independence class littoral combat ships and all the problems that they were having with their systems. Those programs are now going to be scrapped. These ships will never see combat. They're just going to be scrapped. And the Pentagon is going to start all over again with another weapons development program. Ooh, goody, money, 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 money. So, anyway. Now, over on Yemen, as you know, the Saudi coalition forces bombed a school bus and killed a bunch of children. Needless to say, the optics on that are not very good. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has condemned this airstrike, calling for an independent investigation into the case. The UN won't be able to do anything because if it goes to the Security Council, Nikki Haley will veto it. We have to protect our friends, even when they do horrific things like bomb school buses or shoot unarmed protesters at the fence with Gaza. These are our friends. We've got to stand by them. Speaking of Gaza, in the most recent round of bombing, Israel bombed the Gaza Cultural Center. And this kind of thing is deliberate. This is not the first time. Israel is trying to erase all signs of the Palestinian presence in that part of the world. They want it to just go away. I remember this story about this traveling exhibition of Palestinian embroidery. The Palestinians do beautiful embroidery. And somebody had organized a world tour to various museums of these examples of the clothing that was made and embroidered in Palestine. And it was very well received. And people were saying, wow, you know, this is a good example of the Palestinian culture. Then this traveling exhibit got to Los Angeles Airport and promptly disappeared from inside a securely locked cargo warehouse. And that was the last anybody ever saw of it. Now, according to Israel's culture and sport minister, Miri Regev, she said that Israel should just start assassinating the Hamas leaders. You know, it's time for the leadership of Hamas to live in fear. I'm sure they already do. Looking on the cable box last night, I was seeing just a flood of war movies, stuff about Hitler, the Holocaust. Every time the cable channels start flooding that stuff out there to rebuild Israel's victim status, it means something really nasty is about to happen. Now, interestingly enough, over in the Israeli town of Rosh Ha'in, there's a candidate running for mayor right now. And his name is Raz Sagi. And back in 1989, he killed a Palestinian teen. And the court found that the boy had posed no danger to the soldiers. And Sagi basically just shot the kid in the back. And he got 3 months community service within the military. He was not demoted. And now he's running for mayor. You know, look at what's happening down in South Africa right now, where it's just becoming normalized for the black population to go after and just kill whites with impunity. When you see that kind of injustice spreading across the globe, you know the world is in serious, serious trouble. Now, getting back to Israel, over in Nablus, Palestinians living there are at risk of forcible transfer, according to a United Nations agency update, because Israel has declared where they're living a firing zone. This is a very common tactic Israel will use. They'll go into an area where Palestinians are living, and they'll declare it some kind of a military zone. And under Israeli law, the Palestinians get shipped on out. Now, interestingly enough, under international law regarding the treatment of occupied territories, when Israel stops using that land for military purposes, it's supposed to be given back to the people who were living on it. Israel doesn't do that. They'll put a settlement on there. Now, remember what I said about the Bloody Monday massacre and all the massacres since then being Israel's Amritsar? Because the rest of the world's Jewish people are starting to turn against Israel. They've simply gone too far. Nobody wants to be seen to be associated with a government that behaves that badly. And that's what we're talking about here, the government and its behavior. It's not anti-Semitism. It's not hate of the Jewish people. We're talking about the behavior of a government that's fully protected by the First Amendment. So over in Britain, one of the largest donors to Israeli charities, Dame Vivian Dufield, has described the new Jewish nation state legislation to South African apartheid. This actually appeared in an interview with Haaretz, which remains relatively balanced. And over the decades, Dame Vivian's foundations have donated several hundred million pounds to Israeli charities and infrastructure projects, as well as Jewish and non-Jewish British institutions. But she went on to say, every step Mr. Netanyahu takes is a catastrophe, and it is very difficult to defend Israel right now to represent it to England. So the tide is definitely turning. People, what Israel has been doing is indefensible. It is indefensible. It's war crimes is really what it is here. Well, yesterday we were talking about relations with North Korea and how Kim Jong-un had basically, he'd sent home the remains of the soldiers who died at the start of the Korean War. He's dismantling this missile launch site. Dismantled a rocket engine test site and was now saying it's, you know, time for the U.S. to do something to show their good faith. Well, what does the United States do? They throw more sanctions on North Korea. This is like throwing gasoline on a brush fire. And knowing the Asian mindset, this is going to simply infuriate them. And it's sending the message, the United States is not operating on good faith. Pompeo and Bolton are still taking that attitude of North Korea has to do everything that we say first. Then maybe we'll do something nice. But this is amping up the situation, and neither Bolton nor Pompeo appear to have a grasp of how the Asian mindset is going to interpret all of this. And so it should come as no surprise that North Korea is now threatening to end stability on the Korean Peninsula. And maybe that's the reaction Mike Pompeo and John Bolton wanted. Maybe they're aware of the Korea's plan to reunify, and this is their way to make sure it doesn't happen. Because they don't want the Koreas to reunify. They don't want peace. All of these people, their stock portfolios are loaded up, probably, with stocks in the defense contractors. They're just making themselves rich. Doesn't matter how many people bleed to death for it, as long as they get their checks. Now, as you know, Russia has, and for that matter, China, has been developing some really new, amazing weapons. They're thinking outside the box, whereas our military-industrial complex, for the most part, spend vast sums of money basically updating the weapons that fought in World War II. And one of the weapons that a lot of people are looking at is Russia's so-called doomsday torpedo. And it's called the Poseidon Unmanned Underwater Vehicle. And more information is coming out about it. Now, when it first came on out, they were screaming 100 megaton warhead, and I cast serious doubt on that because Russia has only ever built one 100 megaton nuclear bomb. And when they actually set it off, they dialed it back to 50 megatons. It was a technology demonstrator. It was never going to be a viable weapon. Well, now it turns out that this Poseidon carries a 2 megaton nuclear warhead, which is still pretty sizable, can take out an entire carrier battle group or really wreck a harbor. And oh, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And once again, we are standing in front of you with our hands outstretched. And I want to start by saying to those who have donated and contributed, thank you very much. And for those of you who have yet to do so, thank you in advance. But as you can see from what's going on with Google and Facebook and all this censorship that's going on, and I got an email here from somebody just saying, what happens if they start censoring emails they think are objectionable? Because those emails are going through some of these servers. Are they going to start filtering and censoring our email? So we're in a fight. We're in a fight for freedom of speech and the First Amendment. We're in a fight for the truth. We need your help. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number to call in a debit or credit card donation or to pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719. Extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. Okay. Let me just take care of something here. Okay, I'm communicating with the control room here. Okay, so we're talking about Russia's new autonomous torpedo. They're calling it a torpedo. It's really way too big. It won't fit in a conventional torpedo tube. It's actually quite large. And it's called Poseidon. And it's nuclear powered as well as being nuclear armed. And remember, this story came on out the other day. The Russians have developed a nuclear reactor that can actually last the entire life of a submarine without needing to be refueled. Now, I don't know how long this doomsday torpedo is supposed to be running. I imagine not as long as a submarine. But apparently it is faster than any torpedoes that the West has. It's faster than any submarines the West has. And there is a concern that for all the boasting that the new head of the U.S. Submarine Command made, the U.S. has no real defense against this system. And part of the problem, of course, is that much of the SOSUS net, which was developed during the Cold War, has been shut down or turned over to the Whale Watchers. And I'm sure they could bring it on back along with the SIRTAS boats. But this thing can just stay down forever. It can hug the bottom of the ocean. It can go as slow or as fast as it wants. And it's going to be kind of hard to stop this thing. All right, we're going to take a phone call now from Layla in Ontario. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I had a lot of trouble getting through. I dialed for at least 5 or 10 minutes before my phone got through. And then I just don't know if you're being if there's someone influencing which calls get through to you.
No,
so I just wanted to alert you.
There was a technical issue in our control room. Not being filtered.
That's reassuring.
You're not being blocked. Yep.
Okay. I thought it might be someone else, not you. But it's good to know that it was just another technical issue. And hopefully, as funds and donations come in, those technical issues can be eradicated as you upgrade your equipment. I cannot stress often enough to people how crucial it is that we support you in tangible means, not simply by listening to you, but actually sending in donations. It's a matter of survival for ourselves. You started out talking about the embroidery. That was one of the things that Ruth Diane, one of the industries that she tried to get going with the women in the West Bank. Obviously, she became ostracized and by the powers that be in Israel at the time, but they wouldn't dare interfere with a living icon. Then you talked about what is now going on in South Africa. One of the things that terrifies me is that if ever the Palestinians were liberated, if somehow some miracle occurred and Palestine is created, my fear is that after 70 years of bitterness and anger and abuse, I don't know how they will react. Not all of them. But there are going to be those. The anger that we see now at Gaza may be repressed for a while. I don't know. The thing that bothers me is, you know, that saying, the sins of the father are visited on the sons. The problem is sons then.
I don't agree with that one, by the way. Anyway, listen, we have to take a break for commercial. Stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking with Layla in Ontario. We're talking about the Palestinian culture and arts, and especially the embroidery, which, you know, back before the founding of Israel, it's one of the things Palestine was famous for around the world, was the embroidery that they did.
Yeah, I when I did visit Israel, Palestine, one of the earlier times when I attended the program for foreign students at the Hebrew University, and I went to Bethlehem, my aunt made me a beautiful dress that she embroidered for me, and I wish to God I hadn't lost it. It was magnificent. It was, and that's one of the things that was passed on into Europe. I don't think people realize that a lot of the early Europeans, a lot of them were migrants from the Middle East. And I won't go into that detail right now. That's a call for another time. Right now, I'm just so concerned. When I talk about the sins of the father, I mean with the circumstances that are created by one generation are in place when the next generation is born. Many of the Israelis today who are avid Zionists don't really think about what they were born into and how it occurred, and they adopt all the sense of justification for what they are doing. And in that sense, the sin is passed on. And so too is the imprisonment of the victims, because they're born into today's Palestinians are actually some of the most intelligent people I have known are from the Middle East. And I don't mean to brag. I mean, they are. I don't mean about myself, but I mean so many of the people that I have met have astounded me. And once they come to the U.S. or Europe, they often excel within the universities. But the thing that frightens me is that because of that capacity, they need to be wiped out. And Israel knows this. And I don't know, I don't think people realize that they're not just watching theater. This isn't just a play on the world stage, that the curtains will come down and they're all going to be safe. What they are watching now happening to the Palestinians is what they are bequeathing to their children if it doesn't happen to them in their lifetime. Something must be done. The problem is that anyone who goes into government is going to have the blessing and the power of these evil globalists. And when I talk about evil globalists, Zionists may be a good name for them, with Jerusalem as headquarters. And I've always recognized, or long recognized, that Jerusalem was intended to be the headquarters for this Zionist movement. I just didn't realize the scope they had undertaken, and how effectively they had all of the pieces in place so that when they decided to make the move, it would happen. For example, here in Canada, Justin Trudeau, his brother was well known, and so was Justin, very sympathetic with the Palestinians. But what has happened, Justin has become a bit of a joke, and he's probably, like all the others who may want to speak up against what's being done to the Palestinians, they're being silenced, threatened, who knows what's being done to them. The powers that have fallen into the hands of this cadre of people that we call Zionists, the only ones who can stop them actually are the people in Israel, the Jews in Israel primarily, and also the Jews outside. And I've always said this to any of my friends when I was active within the cause. I said, give it up. Nothing is going to happen until Jews themselves realize that they are the primary victims and that they have been used in order to commit sins that, if they actually thought about it, would bring them horror and shame. So I am appealing again, not only to the people in various countries. When you see Muslims that you think are acting like freaks, that's not their normal way. For example, I remember seeing on the Alex Jones show, he was showing how disgusting the Muslims are. There was a man washing his butt in the public square from a tap. I looked at the video and the guy was using his right hand. In Islam, it is forbidden to wipe your butt with your right hand. It has to be only with the left. That guy was there as a plant. That video was put out as a plant. And unfortunately, Alex took the bait, not knowing enough about Islam. And this is the problem. I didn't know much about Islam until I started to study myself. But all I knew was that when we were all living together in Palestine, and when I say we, I include the most recent ancestries that I have. My mother, as a child, her father used to send her on the Sabbath to do the things that the Orthodox do for themselves. There were other things that Muslims were forbidden from doing, and my father would send his daughter, my mother as a child, to go and do the things for them that they could not do. This is how much they respected one another's religious beliefs and how much they recognized the commonality of the human beings that live there. And this is why we can call it, you know, Satan's cauldron, or we can call it the Holy Land. The point is that this is where the message has come out. And in actual fact, it didn't require divine revelation. It's common sense. For human beings to live together, you have to seek out what is within you that is the highest of aspirations. And oddly enough, what just comes to my mind is the end of one of the story of two cities. At the very end, when the man dies instead of his friend, I can't remember the exact story. But it was during the
Tale of Two Cities.
Tale of Two Cities. The point is, often you do have to take the risk. You may suffer the consequences. You may even die. You may even willingly. And that is the symbol that so many Christians love about the concept of Jesus Christ, whether or not it was true, whether or not it was intended. Certainly crucifixion was extremely common. Jesus was not given unusual treatment. And remember, the plaque above his head on the cross said, "This is the King of the Jews." They didn't say this is the Messiah. So it was, he sacrificed. If this event occurred, he was willing to go. It's a symbol of each of us must be willing to give our lives for the well-being of others. Now, the tragedy is that humanity also has a trait that is inevitably inherent in many people, hatred, fear. And hatred often grows out of fear and misunderstanding, not to mention greed and the desire to knowingly steal from others. And so this is like the odd dichotomy that is within the human being. We're capable of aspiring to some of the most beautiful and altruistic ideals, and yet at the same time we can be so savage. And once savagery is let loose, it becomes almost like a virus that takes hold. Madness breeds madness.
That does seem to be what's been going on around the world here. Listen, I hate to cut you off here, but we've got another caller waiting on the line. I do want to back up to this issue about the sins of the father and everything. I think that the people of Israel ought to be taking a look at what happened down in both, well, in South Africa is a good example, which used to be an apartheid state, white minority, black majority. And now look at what's going on today. They're stealing the farms. They're killing off the white people because that rage that is felt by that population built up generation after generation after generation of abuse and maltreatment. We're seeing, again, the same thing over in Zimbabwe. Or we did see it. Zimbabwe is finally starting to calm on down. And Israel needs to understand that if there comes a time when Israel's iron grip on Palestine breaks, that there are going to be repercussions. It's going to be impossible to prevent there from being repercussions.
That's what frightens me, too. And I make this one other comment? There's one particular guy on independent media who actually broadcasts out of Canada, and he considers himself a philosopher king. He has often talked about both the Middle East and Africans as having IQs in the 70s and 80s. That really infuriates me, because not everybody has been tested. You cannot generalize that all Africans have a low IQ. The thing that we have to remember is that the brain is so plastic, it is developed by what is around it. And
yes.
I've known some Africans or even those who were from the Caribbean and were partly white, of immense intelligence and immense compassion. And when I hear someone like that talking about them as being inferior intellectually, it's an outrage. And this, too, is part of what breeds the hatred that is causing this kind of murderous act. And dehumanizing the enemy is going to come back on the people or the next generation. Everything has a consequence. There are always repercussions. And anyway, I should let you go. I've monopolized too much of your time. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Layla, and thank you for the phone call and all that information. We're going to let you go and switch over to Jim in Chicago. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, would you tell me, is Donald Trump putting sanctions on Turkey to appease his evangelical supporters?
It may be, because there's apparently been reports coming out of Turkey that they're kind of rough on the Christians within the country. But mostly I think it's because Turkey has very clearly been drifting away from the United States and toward Russia and China. And also, of course, Turkey now wants to arrest a bunch of U.S. Service people at the Incirlik Air Base for their role in the failed coup d'etat against Erdogan. And so that may be a prime motive there. because I don't think the United States wants to go on in and start a war against Turkey. In fact, given the fact that we did lose in Syria, sanctions are pretty much the only weapon Trump has left to play. But he's overplaying it.
Right, because Turkey is one country. I really do feel that they would do something toward America or get other countries involved, such as Iran, to go after America.
Well, I think Turkey just kind of wants to go its own way. We're looking at a realignment of the Middle East, and most of it's being driven by Israel and the United States. They've smashed up Iraq. They've smashed up Libya. Now they're aiming to smash up Iran. But it's like the end of the Ottoman Empire, where they just went on in and just redrew the map of the Middle East and said, we're going to create all these little tiny countries and keep them arguing against each other so they'll remain weak and easy to control.
Right. Now, Turkey's part of the NATO, aren't they?
I have to be honest, I'm not sure. I think they changed their mind, if I recall correctly. They were going to join, but now they've said, no, they're not interested.
Well, at one time, Turkey was a major ally to America.
I think those days are pretty much over after that failed coup d'etat.
Right, right. And more than likely, the CIA was behind that.
Certainly, and the fact that this cleric who's been given sanctuary in the United States, Turkey thinks this guy was the mastermind, and the U.S. will not turn him on over. Let's see, I'm looking at this. Apparently, Erdogan, I guess Turkey is a part of NATO, but I'm looking at this headline from last year where basically Erdogan withdrew all of his troops from NATO exercises.
Oh, okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So it looks
right,
like
well, Michael,
they may be pulling out.
Well, okay, you take care. Have a nice weekend.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Same to you. Now, getting on back to the news here. Talking about the domestic political situation in this country here. Robert Mueller is going to subpoena Randy Credico, the man Roger Stone claimed was his back channel into WikiLeaks, one day after Credico told MSNBC's Ari Melber that Mueller had previously requested a voluntary interview, which he declined on the advice of his attorney. So Mueller's apparently going back into WikiLeaks. He's going to try and revive that whole Russia hacked the DNC situation, which is probably why the Democrats are just in a panic over the Senate's invitation to Julian Assange for a meeting. Now, it's already known Russia did not hack the DNC computers because of the metadata on the files themselves. But they're still trying to get that one on out there. You know, oh, Russian collusion here. Now, some new emails have surfaced where apparently Christopher Steele, while he was writing this ridiculous dossier on Donald Trump, had extensive contacts with the number four Department of Justice official. That was Bruce Orr. And so Steele was, I don't think they were talking about sports scores. This whole thing about ginning up this phony dossier apparently involved coordination with the Department of Justice. They were just out to get him. All right, we're going to take a phone call. We're going to start with Steve Elkin. Steve, I'm probably going to have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
Well, the question to the last caller, we're talking about Turkey. Question I have is, did the United States not install a missile defense system about a year ago in Turkey?
I think they may have.
I thought it was in the works. I thought it was a done deal that we were.
Well, the U.S. does have an Air Force
base
there.
What's that?
The U.S. does have an Air Force base there. That's where the Turkish officials want to go in and arrest some of the officers there. They're accused of taking part in that failed coup d'etat.
Yeah. No, I'll have to research it more, but I thought that we actually had some contract with Turkey that allowed us to put a missile defense system in there, and we used it for the excuse we used was, of course, evil Russia, that we had to had to do this. I thought we did this. I'm not sure. Just curious.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember everything that's going on in the world, unfortunately. I'm an old guy. But, you know, it's worth remembering that it was putting missiles in Turkey that led to the Cuban Missile Crisis. So history may not repeat, but it definitely is rhyming a lot. We got to take a break for commercials. Stay on the line, Steve, and we'll be right back after these few words.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Steve, who called into the show here about missiles in Turkey, he sent me an article where apparently Turkey did accept a missile radar for NATO defense against Iran, not Russia.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure it'll work against the Russians if they're over Turkish skies here as well. All righty. Now then. Get back to our domestic politics here. as we come up on the midterms and everybody's on the campaign trail, Ivanka Trump is going to be out there hitting the campaign trail to suburban districts where Trump's hardline policies are turning off supporters. They're using Ivanka Trump to basically appeal to the woman's vote. Well, it's a smart thing to do because Ivanka Trump is exactly what the liberal feminists hate. She's not only beautiful, she's successful. And they don't like that. Now, okay, there's new evidence out here providing additional support that the British interfered with the 2016 U.S. election. And apparently, well, it all goes back to Christopher Steele. Steele was paid $168,000 by Glenn Simpson's company Fusion GPS for the memos containing information that were selectively briefed to journalists approved by Simpson and used by the FBI. The Steele dossier, of course, is junk, total fiction. So, yeah, there you have meddling in our elections by Great Britain. Mueller's not interested in that. He wants to get Russia. We're going to get Russia. And, of course, look at how much Israel meddles in our internal politics. And nobody talks about it. It's this big, deep, dark secret. You don't want to talk about Israel buying our politicians. That would be anti-Semitic. Anyway, we were mentioning before that Julian Assange has been invited to meet with a U.S. Senate committee regarding the DNC server and how and why WikiLeaks came to be in possession of those files. And apparently Assange is seriously considering it. The only question is going to be, how will they meet where Assange will, you know, be personally safe from arrest or even worse? And of course, the Democrats are totally in an uproar because if Seth Rich testifies before the Senate committee, I'm sorry, if Julian Assange testifies before the Senate committee that it was Seth Rich who walked the files out of the DNC on a flash drive, that whole Russian hacking narrative just collapses. And so they're in a panic about that right now. Interestingly enough, an apartment building across from the Ecuadorian embassy, the tenants received a letter from the BBC asking to basically install cameras on the outside of their apartments. Basically keep an eye on Assange. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and good buy. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.